how do we think about BRAF MEK versus PD-1 adjuvant, which is, I think, the majority of the decision-making for a BRAF mutant patient with stage 3 resected melanoma. I think one could think about this in terms of toxicity. So I think the efficacy looks very, very similar. If not, maybe the first-year BRAF MEK even has more favorable recurrence-free survival advantages and even a more favorable hazard ratio in some contexts. However, the toxicities are very, very different. So how do I think about that for an adjuvant patient? Because adjuvant patients might already have been cured from their surgery. I think the issue is that BRAF and MEK toxicities are transient. So when you're taking the pills, you may have toxicity. And when you stop the pills, yes, the toxicity may linger a little bit, but it gets better over time once you stop. And it's extraordinarily unlikely to have any permanent toxicity with BRAF and MEK inhibitors. And with immune therapy, PD-1-based immune therapy, which we have in the adjuvant setting, although the majority of people will feel totally fine and the majority of patients don't have any significant toxicity at all, there are those people that will have really significant and or permanent toxicities from adjuvant PD-1. And so it's a conversation with the patients. Do you want to take a risk of long-term permanent side effect that might be severe with PD-1-based immune therapy, although the majority of people are fine? Or do you want to take a pills like BRAF-MEK inhibitors that are probably more likely than PD-1 to cause side effects, but the good news is if you stop the pills, you'll get better and everything will be okay. And so it's a tough patient conversation and a tough decision to decide who wants the pills that'll probably make them feel less well, but if you stop them, they'll feel better. And who wants to get the IV treatments with the PD-1 drugs that most likely they'll be fine, but there are some permanent toxicities like the endocrinopathies, like vitiligo, which can be permanent whitening on the skin. And that can be a big cosmetic problem for some people with PD-1, especially in the adjuvant setting where we're still trying to figure out who really needs these treatments.
That's a really interesting perspective. I actually haven't heard before. It makes complete sense. I guess now they're really, I mean, obviously, if she were a patient like this were wild-type BRAF, PD-1 would be on the table almost as a no-brainer, but I am really curious what you would have done in her with the primary biliary cirrhosis. I'm curious, I guess one of the things that would have to be considered is what you think her baseline risk of recurrence is. She presented with a left axillary mass, one node. Where was the melanoma?
She had an ulcerated melanoma on the left arm that was resected.
Interesting. And so she had one node, but 18 nodes were negative. So globally, when you looked at her, and I don't even know, maybe it comes up, maybe you actually talked to her about it, what were you estimating her risk of baseline recurrence would have been?
We have a new melanoma staging system now, which is really great. And so unfortunately, that it only shows melanoma long-term survival, so it doesn't really get to the recurrence risk, but you can imply what a recurrence risk might be. So with an ulcerated primary melanoma of moderate depth and a very large involved lymph node in the axilla that was surgically resected, hard to really be definitive, but recurrence risks in these situations can really be almost up to 50-ish%. And so that's a pretty high risk of recurrence. And that's a patient that I would consider whether or not I should still treat her with PD-1-based immune therapy, even if she had a BRAF mutation, even with an autoimmune history. Her primary biliary cirrhosis was generally well controlled. She's on ursodiol, but not a patient that had active hepatitis or on immunosuppressants already. So she had this history, but it wasn't such a severe autoimmune disease and had a pretty decent risk of recurrence of around 50-50. That'd be someone even without a BRAF mutation I would consider for adjuvant PD-1. But people that have microscopic lymph node involved, a relatively shallow primary, no ulceration in the primary, those kinds of earlier stage 3 patients, I'm really still trying to wrestle with who really needs adjuvant PD-1 at all in those cases. And if a patient had any history of autoimmune disease in those cases, clearly I wouldn't take the risk for those kinds of patients. So she was a higher risk stage 3 patient with the size of the lymph node involved and the ulceration in the primary. So that would be someone I would maybe take more of a chance. But the whole point here, I think, is a good one. You have to really risk profile these people in terms of what is their real stage 3 melanoma risk and what is their risk of the treatment in and of itself.